You're listening to the FQXI podcast.
Now, if you think a space satellite is far too long a way to go to test quantum gravity and would prefer something a bit closer to home, then you may want to chat with quantum physicist and FQXI member Yvette Fuentes from the University of Vienna in Austria and Nottingham University in the UK.
Like Pan, Fuentes and her colleagues are also fascinated by uniting quantum theory with gravity. But she and her colleagues have taken a more down-to-earth approach, looking at quantum tests that are already up and running in ground-based labs, for instance, and seeing how adding in the effects of a changing gravitational field changes their results. It sounds like a modest task, but, as Fuentes explained to Brendan earlier, it could help physicists both develop new technologies and profoundly change our understanding of space-time.
I like to have these two ingredients, sort of the technology on one hand and the fundamental questions in the other hand.
Yvette Fuentes is a quantum physicist at the University of Nottingham in the UK and currently a visiting professor at the University of Vienna in Austria. She is intrigued by the nature of quantum gravity, the as-yet unknown theory that will hopefully tie the quantum microworld to our laws of gravity, Einstein's general relativity.
The main one would be that we can test it in experiments. I mean, I used to do a lot of work, which was just academic. I was just curious about things. But now, in the last years, I have been really focusing on thinking about things that could be, in principle, tested in experiments nowadays. Then I wanted my projects to have very deep questions. So I like a part of it just to be fundamental questions, understanding the universe just per se. But I have found that that doesn't need to be in a fight with applications and technology. Usually, on the contrary, most of the time I can find in my work these both aspects that I can develop together.
Most quantum gravity researchers try to construct quantum gravity from the ground up. String theory, loop quantum gravity, they try to invent the whole thing from some basic principles. But Fuentes and her colleagues want to go about it in a more focused, strategic way. They want to start with some things we already know a lot about, such as measuring a quantum thing, and they want to imagine making some relatively small changes, like measuring that quantum thing while it moves in a gravitational field. What happens when we make these changes? What new details can we see? Possibly something useful, possibly something deep. The project revolves around the idea of observers. The nature of observers is totally different in quantum mechanics and in general relativity.
Right, so in quantum mechanics, well, observers affect the system that they measure because at some point the observer makes a decision to make a measurement or not. And then when the observer makes a measurement, the observer chooses what measurement operator to apply. And then when the observer takes that decision, it affects the future evolution of the system. But then if you think about observers in general relativity, in that case, the observers, when they make a measurement, they don't affect the system, just in classical general relativity. However, the universe that they observe, or the physics they observe, depends on their state of motion.
The curious thing, then, is what is the right way to think about an observer? The right way to describe the observer's role in the overlap between quantum mechanics and general relativity? Fuentes will take on this question with the help of an $84,000 grant from FQXI and two colleagues, David Edward Bruschi from the University of York in the UK and Stefano Mancini at the University of Camerino in Italy. As a team, they bring a wide range of talents to this bridge-building project. Bruschi describes himself and Fuentes as the quantum field side of the project. That is, the people who study high-energy particle collisions, interactions, and so on. And then Mancini as the quantum information side, which involves the study of the uses of quantum mechanics in computing, cryptology, and now, of course, gravity. The team plans to describe the nature of observers using modern techniques from quantum metrology.
Metrology is the science of making measurements, and of course, we need to measure very precisely things like time, magnetic field strengths, gravitational field strengths, any really physical quantity that you can think of. So we need to be able to measure physical quantities of interest in a very precise way. Quantum metrology would be to do so, but exploiting quantum properties that will allow you to estimate these properties in a way that would be, say, going beyond what you can do with classical methods.
The team will follow two main lines of questioning. Does metrology show us something we've missed about past gravity measurements? And does including gravity tell us anything we haven't known yet about quantum measurements? For the first question, the team will start by looking at measurements of the cosmic microwave background, or CMB. The CMB is the swamp of radiation filling our universe, left over from the Big Bang. Astronomers have learned huge amounts about our universe by studying the CMB in increasingly precise detail. The big question is, how precise can you get? The team wants to find out how the famous quantum uncertainty combines with gravity-induced expansion of our universe to limit our ultimate ability to pick out details in that CMB, which will ultimately limit astronomers' ability to pin down the features of the universe. Fuentes herself will concentrate on a second question: how does gravity impact quantum metrology? To answer this, the team will think about clocks. And they will do it in a way that brings together the two ingredients Fuentes mentioned earlier: practical uses and deep questions.
In particular, in this project, I would like to find out if quantum mechanics imposes fundamental limitations in the way that we measure space and time. And I would say, yes, I think so, but I would like to be able to say more about it and quantify it and say how this happened. So that would be the fundamental questions. And then the applications would be that you could turn this into a very precise clock that is compatible with general relativity. So I would like to be able to say how would like the ticking of these quantum clocks and its precision be affected by the underlying space-time. And these things could have important applications in, for example, clocks in satellites.
Fuentes, Brusky, and Mancini think trying to combine immediate applications and deep ideas is important, not just for finding research funds, but for leading you to worthy and curious questions. What can you actually do with the big ideas? And what deep truths can you learn from thinking about the way real things actually work?
The main thing for me is that we have, on one hand, in quantum mechanics, very precise clocks. Then on the other hand, in general relativity, we have these notions of clocks as point-like systems. And then you can think about this clock moving in space-time, and you have then the notion of proper time. But there hasn't been a model yet for a clock that brings together quantum mechanics and general relativity. That doesn't exist. We can't make a clock be point-like. It always has to have a physical extension. And then once you have this extension, this clock is really a physical system. If I request this physical system to be a clock, how does the curvature of the space-time, or how does, you know, relativistic effects affect the ticking of the clock? And learn for the first time some quantum effects in time dilation and so on. Yeah, that is the kind of questions that I find very interesting and that we're hoping to answer. And we're already getting some very interesting results. Okay. I'm like very excited about it.
That was Yvette Fuentes speaking with Brendan. You can read more about her research in an article that Brendan wrote on our website, www.fqxi.org/community.